So if you have something in your life that you're fearing, that means you're not confident in God's love. So we got to get that out of the way. I want you to know that God loves you unconditionally. You should not be thinking that, oh, I don't know if. No, I know God loves me.
Yes.
I know that he'll come see about me. I know he will deliver me. I know that he'll break me out of this. I know he'll make a way for me. I know he's not going to let me suffer. I know he's going to let me. I'm going to turn in my favor because he loves.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay.
Thank you, Father.
Verse 14 says this, friends, you're my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Look at this. This love is conditional, right? This change is conditional because love changes our status. Look at what love does for us. It changes our status. He says that when we have this type of love, you're my friends, if you do whatsoever, I love him enough to do what he say do. Huh? Come on and say amen.
Amen.
This love changes my status in my relationship with him. Yeah. When you meet someone and you get into a relationship with them, you say, you know, hey, this is my best friend, my good friend, you know, then they become uncles and aunts to your children. You know, when we were growing up, we had people that wasn't even kin to us, they were, you know, and their children was our cousin. Uh-huh. You know, y'all had no cousins. There wasn't no kid, you know, but your mama and their mama, your daddy and their daddy was best buddies, and you said that's Uncle So and So, and all of this and that. That's because now you're showing and saying that, hey, there's a love connection. That they're greater than just some people. There's a love with my neighbor. That shared love with me, and I shared love with him. And so when we look at that, when we look at this, this kind of baby people. Then we fall in love, and then we want married people. Guess what happened? It changes our status. We become go from being a girlfriend or just a friend or a boyfriend, just a friend, to become a husband and then a wife.
Amen.
So your status changes. So Jesus said, I change your status. He said, I ain't gonna tell them that because I know they talk too much. But Jesus still tells us about it. Amen. I know y'all getting bored. Let me try to bring some light to this because y'all looking at me like. But so when we look at Jesus says in verse 15, he says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant know not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You know how it is when something happened at your house, you don't tell everybody because your mama will get you, but you told your friend. Uh-huh. Come on and say amen. And so when you got that whooping, you told your friend, man, that got me in trouble. I got a whooping. But you ain't going to tell everybody at the school, right? Uh-huh, because you know you can't tell everything to everybody. But Jesus is saying, look, I'll tell you what my Father talked about at the house. Because you are mine. And so you get inside details that other people can't get because he's your friend. You get opportunities that other people don't get because he's your friend. And you get favor that other folks don't get because he's your friend. I wish I had some friends in the house that understood that what I got is something that is greater than what I can get on my own. And so the reason why I'm his friend is because I know what he said to do and I try to do what he said to do. He said, you're not servants, but you're what? Friend. Your status change is conditional because you have to know Jesus and you have to do what he says do, right? He says a person has to know and to do his what? Commandments. Love not, you know, when we look at how we say, we ought not love money, we ought not love those things in the world, don't love the pride of life and all of that stuff. But then we have a struggle with that because we talked about this in Sunday school, because our egos won't let us do it.
Right.
I want to have it so people see I got it, you know. How many times can they see you got that before they know it's you?
Yes.
And then what? Amen? So when we get rid of our pride and we get rid of our ego, then we can be friends with our society. Right? I think the disciples, we follow Jesus, they gave up everything.
Yeah.
Matthew left his tax collecting business.
Yeah.
Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, they left their fishing boat and they were entrepreneurs. Come on and say amen.
Yeah.
Nathaniel left what he was doing to follow him, right? Judas left whatever thieving he was doing to come follow Jesus. Come on and say amen. And so they left everything to what?
Follow him.
And so what they did was they said, I don't love what I'm doing more than I love what I'm following.
Thank you.
Okay. Now,
that's good.
16, you know, gotta get out of here. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you.
Yeah.
And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Love not only changes, but love also chooses.
Come on.
Love does not only change, but love chooses. While we were yet sinners, Christ chose to die for us. But he chose us so that we would be productive.
Yes.
He says that what? For us to what? Bear fruit. And not only bear fruit, but bring fruit. Come on and say amen.
Amen.
I don't know if you bear fruit until you bring fruit.
Mm.
So I don't know if you really love until you show me.
Mm.
Oh, come on and say amen. Do I have any Missouri Christians in here today? They come from the show me. Amen, y'all. Boy, something wrong today. Ooh, help me, Holy Ghost.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And since I'm my reader here at the 11 o'clock hour, if you'll get your mic now and read from Luke 12, 16 through 21. Luke 12, 16 through 21.
Luke 12, 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful." Verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" Verse 18. So he said, "I will do this. I will put down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods." Verse 19. "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have made good lays up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.
Let's stop right there at verse 19. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Verse 19 says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Mr. Big Stuff. Who do you think you are? Mr. Big Stuff, who do you think you are? Many of us who are above a certain age will remember that Gene Knight sung that song in 1971. And certainly it was not talking about God. It was talking about a fella who thought he was all that in a bag of chips. And yet this man in the text could very well be a reflection of this same fella, Mr. Big Stuff. Listen, if you will, because verse 16 in the King James Bible reads, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Now, the first observation is the word ground. I'm going to come back a little later and explain about that. But after that, it goes on to say, we know in the Bible that the word says certain, that it is a true story. However, the name was not highlighted so that the principle could be spotlighted, which means that this story is applicable to any one of us who are in the same realities of these found in this story. That's one of the reasons why the Lord, in his sharing of the word, it is a parable, it is an earthly story with heavenly meanings, but it's also meant to reach us where we are. This man, he was rich, but his ground brought forth plentifully. Verse 17 says, "And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have nowhere to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do," verse 18. "I will pull down my barns and build greater. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." A few things I want to talk about in this verse here. When he talked about pulling down his barns, plural, and building greater, he was talking about something that would be a supersized structure. A supersized structure. It would have multifaceted, multifunctional, multi-leveled, climate control, utilitarian, storage and vault facility capabilities. In other words, he said, "I will build greater," something no one else has ever seen before. It is state of the art. Listen, it's something that will accommodate all of my fruits. The word fruits does not mean plural here. It means various, different. So it means both fruits as in, you know, apples, oranges, grapes, all of that. But it also means fruit as in the works of his hand, which means wheat and all other things that he grew out of the ground. But here is the point, that this facility would accommodate all of those things, plus his tools and his treasures. Notice he said, my fruits and my goods. He talked about silver, gold, and all of the things that are precious to him. He wanted to be clear that he wanted to have something that he was able to put everything in it. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What does this say to all of us, my brothers and sisters? A treasure is something that is precious, something that is valuable, something that is important to us, even to the point where we may, if not careful, give it the first place position in our lives. God first is the important and permanent and prominent position that he wants to be in every one of our lives. God will not settle for any other position other than first. I'm sitting here talking to folk who act like they don't know that this morning. If God is first in your life, then you know that he deserves all the praise, glory, and honor for any and everything that's right, that's good, that's prosperous, that's blessed in your life. You didn't do it, God did. The four principles of Christian stewardship are these. One, ownership. Two, responsibility. Three, accountability. And four, rewards. How does that work in the framework of Christian stewardship? Well, one, we acknowledge that God owns everything. Everything? Everything. Everything belongs to the Lord. Matter of fact, Psalm 24:1 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It's his. But what he does, because Psalm 8:4 tells us that the Lord is in his holy temple, and the Lord's throne is in heaven. But he goes on to say in verse 4, his eyes behold, and his eyelids try the children of men. He goes on in verse 5 to say, the Lord trieth the righteous. So the saints of God need to understand that just because you're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost don't mean you ain't going to go through. God's going to allow you to go through to go to what he's prepared for you. And just like David, when he knew, one, that the Lord was his shepherd, two, that the Lord made him lay down in green pastures and led him beside still waters and restored his soul, and then led him in more pastures of righteousness for his name's sake, and then led him through the valley of the shadow of death. Look what happened when he came out. Thou, God, prepared a table for him in the presence of his enemies. God like to prove to your enemies that you are who God says you are. See, people don't believe many times in these days who God is, and even less do they believe you are who God says you are, or you say you are a child of God. But God has a way of showing folk you are His. And then when you do right, He rewards you. Verse 5 in the 23rd Psalm says, He prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That's not being wasteful. That's being abundant. God wants your enemy to see there's more where that came from. But listen, if you will, God gives us things, substance, material blessings. God makes us responsible for what He trusts us with. Your life, God trusts you with. Jeremiah 1:5 tells us, before you were formed in the belly, God knew you. God knew you. You were no accident. You were no mistake. You belong to God. I've shared with us time and time again in this series of teaching, you were made on purpose, for a purpose. And it's in understanding that you'll realize that even you don't belong to you. But you are responsible for you and everything God has placed in your charge. Thirdly, the accountability, which means this: when this life is over, and that would be periodic audits before this life is over, but when this life is over, we're all going to have to give an account of our stewardship. Don't care who you are, how high you are, how low you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, how educated you are, or uneducated, no matter what your lot in life is, you, every creature born of God, is going to have to give an account. And here's reward, the last one. If you please God, He will promote you and He will prosper you. He will call you on up higher, and you who were faithful over a little, He'll give you many, much, plenty, and bless your life. That's the reward of being a faithful steward here on earth. Many of us remember the illustration Jesus gave of the men with the talents. He gave one talent, another two talents, and another five talents. Now, when he came back, they had to be responsible and accountable to him. The one who had five, he was responsible, and he gave an account. What do you have? Trusty, you gave me five. What do you have? Ten. Good, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into that master's joy. One with two. All right. Master, you gave me two talents. What have you done with that? Lord, I was responsible and accountable, and I turned them into four. Great, great. You doubled what I gave you. Got down to the one. Master, you gave me one. And I know you're such a hard master. And I didn't want to lose this one because I know what would happen to me if I lost it. So I dug a hole in the ground and I buried it because I said, my master would have my hide if I lose this one he gave me. He said, listen, you could have at least put it in the bank and got some interest off of it. But here's what happened. He had that one taken from him and given to the one who had doubled the most, and that was five. Why? Because he would be able to make up for what the one lost by giving it to the one who had the most to add with what he already had. That's why they say in these last days, the rich will get richer and the poor will get poorer. Now listen to this, because I need you to understand something here. This rich man had issues underneath his skin. It was all about me, myself, and I. There's no mention of a wife. There's no mention of a family. There's no mention of friends. There's no mention of tithing. There's no mention of giving offerings to God. There's no mention of him even knowing God. And certainly there's no mention of him giving praise to God. Guess who Mr. Big Stuff praised? Himself. He said, I will say to my soul. That might have been where that rabbit got it from. I speak to myself, because there is no one to speak to or something like that. Ain't nobody was around him. He had to talk to himself. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good for many years. Many years. Many years. Take thine ease. Chill. Relax. Eat. Drink. Oh, yeah. And be merry. Who you gonna do it with? Me. Who you gonna drink with? Myself. And who you gonna be married with? I. Listen, my brothers and sisters, when you get to the point where your blessings are too good to share, then your blessings have become your God. Your heart will be where your treasure is. What are we treasuring that God feels like he has been replaced with? Is it our money? Probably not. We ain't got that much. Some of us, is it our homes? Is it our cars? Is it our education, our degrees? Is it our accomplishments? Is it our family, our husband, our wives, our children? What is it that we give God more of than he himself should have? I can't answer that question for you. It's personal. But it is a desire of mine that you would search your own heart and make sure that you don't make the same mistakes Mr. Big Stuff made. Mr. Big Stuff talked to himself, but what he didn't realize was there was a God sitting up high, looking down low. Listen at what God did. God intercepted his thoughts. God invaded his thought. And God showed him and shared with him, whether you invite him in or not, he's still God all by himself. Look at what verse 20 says. But God said unto who?
Him.
Thou fool. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee.